The scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. We'll read through verse 46. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. Now when the Son of Man comes in His majesty and all His angels are with Him, He will sit on His majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of Him. He will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right side, but the goats He will put on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who will receive good things from My Father. Inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then those who are righteous will reply to Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and gave you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Then the King will reply to them, "I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me." Then He will say to those on His left, "Get away from me, you who will receive terrible things. Go into the unending fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, and you didn't give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't welcome me. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothes to wear. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't do anything to help you?" Then He will answer, "I assure you that when you haven't done it for one of the least of these, you haven't done it for me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous ones will go into eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Trinity Sunday may be less familiar than any other date on the liturgical calendar. We know the characters, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We sing about them every Sunday. But that might be about all we have to say about the Trinity. And we're not alone. It took theologians 3 centuries of reflection on the Gospels to have the courage to even say the word Trinity. It wasn't until the 3rd century when Tertullian first coined the word Trinity from the Latin Trinitas, triad, or threefold. Mystical Cappadocian fathers of 4th century Eastern Turkey developed the best metaphor they could find, saying, "Whatever is going on in God is a flow, a radical relatedness, a perfect communion between three. A circle dance of love." The ancient Greek fathers depict the Trinity as a round dance, a divine circle dance. This is a dance, they say, that has continued for 6,000 years and 6 times 6,000, and beyond the time when humans first knew time. An infinite current of love that streams without ceasing to and fro, gliding from the Father to the Son in one timeless happening. Richard Rohr says, "Within the triune God, we discover mutual love, mutual fellowship, mutual dependence, mutual honor, mutual submission, mutual dwelling, and authentic community." The foundational good news is that we have been drawn into this flow of divine love. We are not outsiders or spectators, but inherently part of this divine dance. The goal today is not only to become more familiar with the Trinity, but to become more than spectators. The Trinity is primarily about a flow, a radical relatedness, a perfect communion. a circle dance of love, and that circle is an open circle into which we are all invited. Jesus is giving us a dance lesson in this morning's scripture reading. He is saying the only dance step we need to know to join the eternal circle dance of the Trinity is compassion for others. Compassion for the least of these. It is a compassion that unleashes the flow of a radical relatedness and a perfect communion with others and with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we look at this gospel passage, we would probably rather focus on the sorting of the sheep and the goats. That image is more relatable. The division of one kind of people from another is much more familiar than the idea of the Trinity. We would rather think about rewards for people like us and judgment on, well, everybody else. Isn't that what God's all about? Rewards and punishment? Jesus does present the sheep and goat sorting in this morning's parable. Sheep and goats, Jesus says, are two different animals. But they sort of look alike, especially to the little ones who might see them only on an occasional trip to the petting zoo. And when it comes to sounds that sheep and goats make, well, that's a distinction that can be challenging even for the more discerning ear. Sheep and goats look similar, and they sound even more alike. You have to look beyond surface appearances, and you can't base identification upon the sounds you hear coming out of their mouths. Jesus tells us that while sheep and goats may sound alike, there is a distinction to be made. In fact, not even the sheep and goats themselves seem to be aware of which they are. In the parable, each is surprised beyond measure to learn their true identity. It is not how they look. It's not what they say. Their core identity is based on what they actually do. In this case, it is the distinction of whether they show compassion on the needy or not, whether they feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick, or not. That's an important lesson. But is that the only lesson that can be learned from this passage? Is there a lesson beyond the one with which we sometimes arm ourselves to do the very thing our Lord says we should not do, judge others? Is there a lesson about the Trinity in this parable? About the radical relatedness and perfect communion among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? About how we can enter into the divine circle dance of love. Let's step beyond the sorting of the sheep and goats. Let's take a closer look at this passage in an attempt to find yet another lesson, one that might be harder to hear because we are trained from preschool to identify animal sounds, to divide things, even people, by how they look or what they say. To get to the other message of the passage, consider where the surprise comes. Neither the sheep nor the goats were surprised by the assessment that they acted, either in a righteous way by feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, and visiting the imprisoned, or, on the other hand, in an unrighteous way by neglecting to do so. Interestingly, neither group denies their behavior. Rather, they are surprised at their failure to recognize the Son of Man, who they learn they have treated, however they have treated the needy. Or more to the point, they are surprised to find where the Son of Man hangs out. David Lowe says point on when he says, no one expects to see Jesus in the face of the disadvantaged, the poor, the imprisoned, and all those who are in need. Perhaps that's to be expected. We think of God and the Son of God, we usually think in terms of power and might and glory and all of the rest. And indeed, the parable begins by describing the coming of the Son of Man to sit in glory on his throne, attended by angels, seemingly only to reinforce our preconceptions. Maybe this opening image of the parable is a deliberate setup. The rest of the parable depicts the same royal figure as identifying with the least of these, and thereby seems to undermine our tendency to look for God in places of power. If so, then this parable might not only call into question where we typically look for God, but actually reorient us to discover and experience God's presence in our lives more fully than ever before. Maybe the whole point of the parable, rather than giving us criteria for judging one another, for condemning one another to the wrath of God, is to realize that Christ is a king in sheep's clothing, a king who is present with and in the suffering of the least of these. This is an important and beautiful image of Christ, especially if you happen to find yourself as one of the least of these. What good is a king to the hungry if the king is unavailable, unmoved, unresponsive to your hunger? What comfort is a king on a throne to the isolated soul who suffers alone in a sick room or in prison? The good news of the gospel is that Christ is a king who is found with and in the very face of all who suffer, in the least of these. While that might surprise us, just as it surprised both the sheep and the goats, David Lowe says maybe it shouldn't surprise us. The God we know in Jesus seems to delight in such surprises. After all, God didn't come to reign over humanity at Athens or Rome or any of the other major cities where we would expect God to arrive, but rather surprise. God came to identify with us by being born in lowly Bethlehem in the form of a vulnerable infant. And God didn't come to conquer the world with military or political might, but instead surprise in the scandal, the shame, and the pain of the cross. So also, God continues to come where we least expect God to be, in the plight of the homeless, on the side of the poor, in the face of the needy, and in the company of the imprisoned. The good news of the gospel is we are invited to meet Christ, not in some distant eternal life or other worldly reality, but here and now, in the concrete and real need of our neighbors. Compassion for the least of these is the key to discovering that Christ is a king in sheep's clothing. Compassion for the least of these is a key to unleashing the flow of radical relatedness and perfect communion. Compassion for the least of these is the key to discovering mutual love and fellowship, mutual dependence, mutual honor and submission, mutual dwelling, and authentic community. Compassion for the least of these is the key to our entering the divine circle dance of love with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Compassion for the least of these is the gospel, and it still stands as the call and commission for all of those who would follow in the way of our King, Christ Jesus. Amen.